Job 4, verse number 5. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Job chapter number 4, I want to read verses 4 and 5. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. I want to take as my text those words, but now it is come upon thee, and thou faintest. I want to preach for a little while on this subject, counseling the counselor. Counseling the counselor. In verse number 4, the Bible said, thy words have upholden him that was falling. In the following, or in the earlier chapters, of course, the Bible spoke about the fact that there were the two satanic attacks and the reaction of Job to those satanic attacks. Job here was still in the captivity of Satan. Job's three friends had come and been with him 7 days and 7 nights and not spoken a word unto him. Then Job began to speak, and he cursed the day that he was born. He poured out bitterness from his soul before his friends. Then there were those that began to speak. Here we have the first one that spoke to Job, the first of the three friends of Job. There was one other that was to speak as well. But of course, God was to speak in the end. As far as the three friends of Job, as they sat there with Job, not speaking a word to him, that did not mean they were not thinking of things to say. And when it finally came a point, Job had spoken. And I think that part of what triggered what came after it was what Job said. Then the friends began to speak. Here we have words from this one friend of Job, Eliphaz the Temanite. In fact, if you go on later on in the book, the Bible talks about other friends speaking. And one of the ones, and this is, I believe, after all three of the friends had spoken, then there was another man that spoke. He gave these words. He said, I said, I will answer also my part. I also will show mine opinion, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me constraineth me. Behold, my belly is as wine which hath no vent. It is ready to burst like new bottles. I will speak that I may be refreshed. And I imagine as there were those that were listening while others were speaking, there were times that it might be said that one of them felt like, I'm about to bust to say something. I want to put my part in. I want to give my counsel. I want to say my piece. And there were the times where the different ones spoke their words unto Job, and Job responded unto them. Verses 3 and 4 and 5, the Bible says, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It troubleth thee, and thou art troubled. There are men that men are more likely to go to for counsel than others. A man might go to someone that is a very successful person, at least in the eyes of men. He might go to a very successful person to get advice from him concerning finances, concerning life. And in the case of Job was the greatest man of the East. And so I might imagine that it drew men to him to get advice from him, to get counsel from him. Then if there's a man that's a very good man, a religious man, a very good man, and of course in the case of Job, I believe he's a well-known man in addition to being a very good man, outstanding man, a man that God himself highly complimented. And so I might imagine people going to Job for advice concerning a relationship with God. Sometimes people have some kind of a position, and because of their position, people may go to them to get counsel. And a man that is wise, a man that has proven his wisdom, people may go to that person for counsel. The Bible speaks about the fact that Job feared the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Job said this later on in the writing of Job, "Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them. They waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouth wide as for the latter rain. I chose out their way, and sat chief, and dwelt as a king in the army, as one that comforteth the mourners. But now, they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock." Things had so changed. I believe, according to the testimony of this first friend, Eliphaz, and the testimony of Job, that Job was a counselor. Job had counseled men. Men waited for the counsel of Job like waiting upon rain. And yet the tables had turned now, and Job was suffering, and there were those that came to comfort and ended up giving counsel unto Job. And so let us consider this idea of counseling the counselor. I believe that there were some things that triggered this deluge of words that we find in the book of Job. These words, so many of them that were against Job. First of all, the calamities that befell him. There were so many calamities that befell Job. They were so terrible that befell Job. It was such an unusual situation. And I think that that helped trigger people saying things that perhaps they would not have said to one that was undergoing more common suffering. Then number two, not only the calamities that befell him, but the cursing of Job. If Job had spoken differently, then the words of his friends might have been different. But because Job started out cursing the day that he was born, I think that probably triggered the friends to think, there's something wrong with this man. God is dealing with this man because of his sins. Then number three, the conceitedness of his counselors. I believe his counselors thought too much of themselves, thought too highly of themselves, thought too much of their own opinions. And sometimes a person may think so much of what he thinks, he can be so conceited that he spills out things that are contrary to the Word and will of God, even though he is supposed to be counseling according to the Word of God. And then, as well, there was the confrontation of Job against those that spoke about him, and he confronted them. They would say something, he would say something back, and on it went for a while, till finally God spoke up and put the bunch to silence. Now, it can be good, of course, to get good counsel. The Bible talks about counsel in the book of Proverbs. It can be good to get counsel for safety. Proverbs 11:14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It is good for success to get counsel." Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established." I've spoken about this in the past, but the Bible speaks about the multitude of counselors. And I think sometimes to get the right answer, you may have to talk to a multitude of people. You may have to refer to a multitude of sources. And you may find in that multitude that there are some, or perhaps there are a few, that are in agreement in the right way. They give good counsel. There are so many opinions out there. If you have problems and you ask people about your problems, you may find there are so many opinions about your problems. You listen to a talk show, and I haven't seen a talk show for I don't know how long, but one of the old talk shows, you may have had a moderator, and then people that were supposed to be experts and other people giving their opinions. Well, I think this, and I think that. And on it could go with the opinions of men. And so, when you're seeking counsel, remember, it might be that the first one you go to won't give you the right counsel. It might be that after a while you begin to see the right way to go after you have talked to a number of people about a matter. Also remember, if you go to get counsel from someone, that some of the ones with the best counsel may not give it very readily. In fact, a lot of people don't want good counsel. And a person that gives good counsel, he just may not be willing to give it out to anyone to cast those pearls before the swine. He may be somewhat reluctant, and so you may have to, as it might be said, dig for the counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding will draw it out. If you go to some people that really, they're not wise people, and you ask them their opinion, they just may spill out. They may tell you a number of things about what they feel. But then if you go to someone that's got real godly counsel, you may need to dig a little bit. If you've got understanding, you feel like that person's got something I need, then you may have to spend a little time with them before finally they will show you what you need to receive from them. It is good to get counsel. There are times when we should have counsel. In this case, though, we might consider counseling the counselor. And I think that there were some things that made it hard. This situation, a hard situation. Some of the things that can make it hard for one to receive counsel, number one, when the counseled one is accustomed to thinking of himself as a counselor. If a person has been one that has given out counsel, and that's his position, that's his place, he's used to giving out counsel, it might be that he is used to that position and he is not one that would readily receive counsel because he is the counselor. And especially in the secular realm, you may find those that feel like, I'm the expert. I've got the degree. I've got the position. I've got the reputation. And therefore, they may think of themselves as counselors when really they don't have good counsel to give. They may think of themselves as counselors and not be willing to accept counsel from others. We certainly should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think, but we can reach a point where we do think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think and refuse to accept counsel. Then number two, when the counseled one thinks that he knows more than the counselor does. And honestly, I believe that Job did know more. There were these men that came to him to comfort him. I believe that was a true intent. They were going to comfort him. They stayed there in his presence. I think they were stunned at the situation that Job was in. And they stayed there in his presence silent. Then Job's cursed the day he was born and so on, showed so much bitterness, and then they began to speak. And I think that in the course of their speaking, there really was not much comfort. There was a lot of condemning and a lot of counseling that went on. And I personally believe that Job knew more than they did. And when a person is being counseled, but he sees through the counsel that is being given him, that can make it hard for him to accept the one that is counseling him. In fact, Job said this, and this is after the three friends had spoken, and Elihu, and even God had spoken. Job said this, "Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not." Much of the conversation that Job and his friends had was about what had happened, and especially from Job, you may see quite a bit about what's going on and this idea of why. And of course, there's so much condemnation of Job as though it was his fault that this came upon him. And many times when people are giving their opinions, They are talking about what they know not of. People may be talking about things that are too high for them. And of course, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and God's ways are higher than our ways. Why God does things sometimes, we don't know why God does them. And sometimes we may be trying to speculate as why God has done them, and we may try to pin the blame on somebody for something that has happened, when really, we don't know what we're talking about. We're just talking. I think with Job was really, I believe he's probably a wiser man than all those friends that came to see him, and Elihu as well. And he saw through things that they were telling him. He knew some of the things they were telling him just simply were not right. Then number three, when the counseled one knows more than the counselor. And this is once again along the same line, but when the counseled one knows more than the counselor. Here's something that Job said. Just listen to the sharp sarcasm. No doubt ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. But I have understanding as well as you. I'm not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? Oh, the sarcasm there. No doubt ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. I think Job, it irritated Job. Things that they were saying that just were not right. Job, as far as I know, Job did not know all the details as far as Satan meeting with God and all that went on in that case, but still, I believe Job was a righteous man, and he did not see in his life anything that had brought this situation upon himself. And yet they condemned him, and they gave him faulty counsel. And I believe it was hard for Job to take. And Job didn't always respond properly to what was said to him. Then number four. When the counseled one thinks that the counselor is unreasonable and vain. Job 13:45, this is from Job. But ye are forgers of lies. You're all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. How would you like to be counseling somebody and they say, you'd be wise if you just keep your mouth shut. You'd be wise if you didn't say anything else to me. Because your counsel is not good counsel. You're forgers of lies. Now, you think about if you were in a situation, you were having a tremendously hard time, and people were talking to you. And as they were talking to you, they were talking like they knew what's going on. They knew your problem. They knew why this happened. And they were condemning you for something you didn't even do. And talking to those gods, it's your fault that God has done all this. And in the course of things, they're saying things that are not applicable to your situation. Well, it could be hard. It could be hard to keep a sweet spirit in the midst of such attacks from men. God said to Job, Job 38:2, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You realize that counsel can be darkened by words without knowledge? We might think of making something crystal clear. Well, in the case of these three friends, they weren't making things crystal clear. They were muddying the waters. I think they said things that would actually make it harder to see the truth about the matter instead of helping in the matter so that Job would get some help and understand what's going on in his life, or at least be comforted in the situation. But instead, I think that they actually were tormentors of Job as they were given the counsel to Job. Then, number five, when the counsel one disagrees strongly with his counselor. And I know there's some overlapping in this. Things that can make it hard for the counseled one to take counsel. When the counseled one disagrees strongly with the counselor, his counselor. Job 16, verses 1 through 5. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall vain words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answerest? I also could speak as ye do. If your soul were in my stead, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the moving of my lips would assuage your grief. Now, he not only did not agree with them in things that they said, but he also opposed what they were doing. And I do think he had a point there. Here's a man that needed some comfort. And yet, instead of comforting him, they were condemning him and causing even more agitation in the situation. And then, number six, when the counselor wrongly accuses the counseled one, now Job took the defensive. That's one of the things you may see over and over in this book of Job, is Job on defense. They say something to him, he defends himself against what they said. Job 27, verses 5 and 6, God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove mine integrity from me. My righteousness I will hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me as long as I live. Now, that's quite a bold statement Job made. But I do believe he was convinced that he did not bring this upon himself because of the way he was living. And that certainly was the case. It wasn't because Job was such a bad man that this happened. It was because Job was such a good man that it happened. And then, number seven, when the counseled one is desperate to hear from God, and the counselor puts himself in the place of God. In the case of Job, I believe he wanted to hear from God. He wanted God to tell him, what is going on here? Why am I going through this? He was desperate to hear from God. Job 6 and verse 26, do ye imagine to reprove words and the speeches of one that is desperate, which are as wind? In chapter 13, verse 3, surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. Now, I believe Job wanted to hear from God about the situation. Wanted God to explain to him about the situation. And God was silent while his friends spoke. And in fact, to crown it all, we have the words of Elihu, of course, the one that was not one of the three friends. But here's what Elihu said. Behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also and formed of clay. Imagine a man in a terrible situation, still in the captivity of Satan, suffering terribly, wanting to hear from God, expressing the fact that he wanted to hear from God, and having a mere man speak as though, I'm here instead of God. Some of the things they said, I believe, were certainly not helpful in Job's situation. And I think that Job really did pretty well in describing them. Miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. If you read about what these men said, you may find that there are some true things stated, but there's such a mixture of things that were stated. True and false. And there were so many things that I believe just added more to the burden that Job was already bearing. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I believe that one of the things that was going on in this case was that these men had never gone through anything like what Job was going through. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, the Bible says this, beginning with verse number 3, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation, salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Now the Apostle Paul, I believe, saw that one of the reasons why he suffered so much was so that he could give consolation to others. And I believe that through Paul's suffering, he could give guidance to others. He could tell about his situation. And of course, there was all the suffering because of persecution. There was a thorn in the flesh. And he could say, "My grace is sufficient." God said, "My grace is sufficient." He didn't take the problem away. But he said, "My grace is sufficient." It was things like that that could help other people. And yet, I think we need to understand this. If a person tries to give counsel, the counsel, even if it is good counsel, may sometimes be brushed aside by one that is suffering, because the one that is suffering said, "Well, you've never been through what I've been through." And even if it is a good thing that the one that is trying to give counsel offers, or trying to give comfort offers, I can go through something very similar to what you go through, but you still might brush aside my comfort or my counsel by saying, "It is not exactly like my situation." Well, whose situation is exactly like yours? None of us go through the same things. And so, does that disqualify anyone from giving you counsel just because they haven't been through exactly what you've been through? And so, I offer to you the counselor. The Bible says about Jesus Christ that he should be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. There may be times in my life when I've gone through something and I can uphold someone and I can comfort them and say, "I had a very similar situation in my life," and perhaps that'll be a help, that sympathy and empathy, because I've gone through something similar. But I can't always say that. And so I offer the Great Counselor. I offer the God of all comfort. When a person is in a time of tremendous suffering, they do need to hear from God. That's really the one they need to get their help from. That's really the one they need to get their counsel from. And I realize that men sometimes may help. Men may direct people to portions of the Word of God. But ultimately, they need to hear from God. Offer to one that is in a suffering or perhaps one that is in a very hard situation, the scripture song we just had, James 1:5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." If you're in a hard situation, you don't know what to do, let me give you this advice. Ask God. In faith, nothing wavering. I think that one of the reasons why we do not receive the wisdom that we need to receive, even if we do ask God, and it'd be so easy for us instead to be asking other people and forget about God, but even if we ask God, sometimes we ask God, but we really don't believe God. If you ask God for wisdom, believe that He shall give you wisdom based on James 1:5. You don't go to God and say, Lord, I need some wisdom about this situation, and then get off your knees with the attitude, I'm not sure if I'll get it or not. Maybe He'll give it to me. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Offer you the Scriptures. And there are a number of Scriptures that might be especially applicable to your situation. For instance, in Psalm 42 and 43, especially Psalm 42, you might consider dealing with depression. Psalm 42, tremendous Scripture there about one that is cast down and asking himself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And there's Scripture there that may help one in some situation. It is a fact that even if you've been saved for a while, you don't have an answer to every situation, but we have a Bible and we have a God in heaven that can give the answer to every situation. He is the wonderful, and it's not worded this way, but He is the wonderful Counselor. He shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is the Wonderful Counselor. He'll never accuse you wrongly. A counselor, an earthly counselor might, but he'll never do that. He'll never misdiagnose your situation. He knows everything about your situation. He'll never give you faulty counsel leading you in the wrong direction. He is the Wonderful Counselor. And so let me encourage you. If you're going through a time of tremendous suffering and you're finding out that people are letting you down when it comes to giving you the counsel you need, go to God and trust God to give you what you need. If you will, please stand.